His name is Clay Muganda, a quality assurance editor at the Standard Group. And joining me today is Godfrey Ombogo Jarachar, who is also a quality assurance editor at the Standard Group. Today, we'll just go right away, and we are talking about the future informed by the past. And the topic today is, how will the media cover President Ruto? How easy or how hard is it going to be for the media, based on the fact that during the campaigns, Ruto was not very friendly to the media, or he kept on saying that the media was not very good to him, that the media was biased and all that. So we're just wondering, will his pronouncements during the campaign period, will they affect how the media covers him? How will he relate with the media, or how will the media relate with him, and all that? Will he make the work of media difficult? Ombogo Jarachar, what do you think?
We are coming from an election period that has been so to speak tough for the media. Because there was a lot of accusations of media bias against particular candidates. The president-elect himself was very particular that there were some media houses that were against him. So now that he's in office, I don't know if he will sort of revenge against the media, but given that background that from what happened during the campaigns, I think there is some apprehension that the media environment might not be very friendly in this new regime.
So when you say the media environment might not be very friendly, does it mean that it's the media that is going to, that the regime is going to make it difficult for the media to operate, for journalists to operate freely? Is that what you probably mean by
yes,
the environment will not be friendly?
Yes. Because, you see, even when, remember when the Supreme Court, after the Supreme Court gave its judgment,
yeah,
then the president-elect was addressing the media.
Yes.
There was a bit of profiling when he said, how is Inoro, by the way? How is...
By picking out specific,
in a press conference, it's scary in a way.
Yes.
It's a message. It's a message that is not very good going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I like the bit. I tend to agree with you when you say that it's a bit scary, because people might have laughed it off, but if you've been in the industry and you've been in the newsroom, and you remember how we used to react to media presence, or rather to the media during the campaigns. And then here, on the day that the Supreme Court has actually said, okay, fine, elections were free and fair, and you're the president-elect, he goes to address a press conference and, address the nation. In a way, yes, that's what he was doing. And picking out some media houses and, oh, so how he saw it, so how he saw. I felt like it was more of profiling, and I felt like some people laughed it off, but for me, it was a bit odd, you know. It gives that... sense of like, okay, fine, people said like, oh, it's good to gloat and all that, but for me it was not gloating. It gave me a sense, because having grown in this country in the 90s, when there was a lot of the media was not that free, and it was not free because of a lot of government interference and stuff, I would feel like, are we going back there? Is this? It gives me such kind of a sense. And I don't know if other journalists, probably who are my age, would also felt that way. You're younger, but if you're young and you still felt that way, I don't know how others out there who are my age felt about it. people are not talking about it much, and that is my biggest worry, is that people are not talking about it. People are not probably seeing that, oh, that was a subtle message that you guys, you people, you need to toe the line. Right now, I'm in charge.
Yes.
I hope, but I still leave.
Because you see, and even you see, the media that he picked on, during the campaigns, there was this perception that this media was pro his opponent,
which I found odd because most of the people,
now I'm here.
Yeah, which I found odd because most of the people that actually some politicians for other seats, for governor, for senator, they used to advertise on the same media station. Yeah, the same station that he used to criticize. But maybe my fears are unfounded. I don't want to talk like a political journalist, a political analyst without any evidence. But I still have to base this on the actions during the campaign period. And I still think it is going to be a bit difficult. I don't know.
It is going to be difficult because... remember, even there were people who were central in Ruto's campaign secretariat, like Dr. D, making some proclamations that should put us on edge. Something like, if Ruto wins, you will not see such adverts in newspapers. You know such threats, because the media depends so much on adverts, and the Kenyan government is the biggest advertiser with the media. So if you're already promising us that if you take government, then probably you're going to freeze these adverts, it means you are punishing the media.
Yeah, even though there's virtually no law against forcing the government to advertise in mainstream media as a private entity. I think also that the government's job is to make things work, but it's not supposed to bring down companies, because immediately you start threatening. If a government, you actually say, we will not put our ads there, you're probably sending a message to other private companies that actually would have advertised there also, that, okay, fine, why should we put our ads there if the government does not want to put its ads there? So it's like a message, and it's baffling that you would be talking about creating jobs, but at the same time here's a case where you're talking about whatever the message you're sending is that I want to bring down the media companies, because media companies are not machines, they are people here. And I understand about their number when they talk about the unemployed youth. But I think, like, right now, people don't realize this, is that media houses have a lot of young people. I mean, the producer of this podcast is 21. Yes. And 21, and there are people in the newsroom just below us here who are 23, 24. These are the youth. Yeah, and if you bring down a media house, if you bring down media companies, there's so many of these people who are going to be thrown on the streets, and this is what they studied. I don't think they actually studied journalism so that they can end up being matatu drivers. This is what they wanted to practice. So I feel that actually that such a statement is a bit unfortunate. But at the same time, we can give them benefit of doubt, probably, like, okay, fine, they're just talking about this at the heat of the moment of the campaigns. And maybe we should not fear, we should also balance that, and we should not just live in fear and say, like, okay, fine, we've made a conclusion, like, it is going to be this difficult. Yes. Yeah,
it's true. Yes, we in as much as there could be some fear, but there is also hope, because this is a new government in office. We still don't know how they are going to operate, the kind of policies they are going to bring into place. So
no, the policies, they already talked about them in the manifesto. So yeah, let's hope they follow them.
Yes.
Mm.
But what I'm saying is that they might actually not bully the media as we think they will. But if they follow through with those threats, I think it will be very unfortunate.
Yeah, I've always had this thought, and somebody told me about it today, told me today that I should not have it. I had a discussion with one of our senior editors here, and I was saying that I think probably Ruto's Ruto and Rigathi Gachagua's aversion to the media is probably based on history. Because these people are people who probably they were learning their politics at a time when the government's mouthpiece was very strong, and almost every news item, the media actually used to play to sing the government's tune, or rather, that's what the government wanted, even though they were still private media houses. So my feeling has been that kind of history, that kind of background is going to inform, or that is what informs their hostility, if I can use that word, towards the media. But I was told that no, actually, the president-elect, next week the president, has been working very hard to shake off that tag, that tag of the 1980s or 1990s, that he's going to rule using that philosophy. So that gives me hope. That gives me hope. But is that something that I can actually hang on?
Well, as at now, all you can hang on is hope. Because
you're basing it on the fact that he's been trying to shake off that tag, but at the same time, looking at how he used to rant at the media during the campaigns. So you see, these two things are a bit conflicting.
You see, coming from the regime that is outgoing, which Ruto has been part of.
Yes.
When they came in 2013, that onslaught in the against the media started then. These threats, you know, against media freedom. Remember this issue about Githeri Media.
No, that was started in 2017.
Githeri Media came in 2017. Yes.
Yeah. When they came to office in 2013, yes, is when they had the so-called the infamous breakfast of media stakeholders.
Yes.
When they called the media to State House for breakfast,
oh, yes.
And while people saw that the citizenry. While for the media or for the presidents, it was like, okay, fine, we want to work with these people. Our audiences out here saw like we had sold out, you see. So by that time, it started like on a good note. It started on a good footing. But now what you're talking about actually did happen, but not immediately.
Yes. But in it started getting, I think it started getting worse around after 2017 elections. And after the handshake, when now the president and his deputy became adversaries, Ruto sort of, I would say, I don't know, he had a feeling that the media was always against him. There's always that feeling.
Yeah.
Even though he does not pronounce it clearly, but this, from the way he behaves, you see that there's that feeling that the media is fighting him,
yeah,
which is not true, you know.
I believe it's not true.
Yeah, which is not true, because the media has tried to be. Even if you look at this campaign, the media has tried to be as balanced, as fair as it can get, because of course you cannot be absolutely objective.
Yeah, but you see the narrative that the media is against him.
Yes, now
has been picked by his supporters on social media.
That narrative is what is informing our fear.
Yes.
That,
and the way
that
people are behaving, even on social media and
yes,
all that, and the utterances of some of his surrogates, as you said.
Exactly. And now they are saying media this, media that. And it's like they are chest thumping, saying now we are coming in. And we are coming for you. You know? But I believe that should not cow the media into conforming to what the government wants. because the media has to remain independent under any circumstances.
As it should. But is it really independent?
As of now?
As of now, or has it ever been? I mean, can you use independent and media in the same sentence?
Yes.
Is it just an ideal we hope to live up to, or does it really exist? You know, that is also another question, because even as we look at even as we say that covering this gentleman, these two gentlemen, or covering this regime might be a bit difficult, I think also there's one thing people will ask us. Have you guys looked at yourself? Have you done an introspection? Is it really true that you are biased? Is it really true that you're influenced? We can always fight back, but you know, we also need to look, we're not perfect.
It's true, there's a lot of truth to it, that there's some influence from both government and outside government. And that happens because, you know, as you said, the media has employed people.
Yeah.
These people, they also have their own interests and feelings.
Yeah.
So, from ownership to the people, to the employees, everyone is serving a certain interest, you know. So, it's upon us. It's upon us, the journalists, to rise above these interests. Yes, I might have an interest. I might have a favorable candidate, for example. But I should rise above that when doing my professional work as a journalist.
Yeah, but
which we have not managed so much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
So which means like fears at the same... So can we actually say that, okay, fine, in as much as the president-elect and the and his campaign were guilty, so to speak, of were accusing the media, were busy always saying that the media is against them.
Yes.
There could have been some truth in it.
There is some truth in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is. We have to own up. There is some truth to it. We are in the newsroom with you every day. We see some of these stories that come to the news desk every day. Yes. Some of them we kill.
Yes, some of them we kill because actually they're biased.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
Some of them we kill because
I know these are written by people who are here, journalists, and either they have been influenced,
or
they are probably serving some matter that they believe.
Yeah, but the way it comes across when they put it, when they say that the media is biased, it's like there's this meeting that actually is convened, and then it's like the media is told like, okay, fine, the 15 of you today, you just do wrong, bad stories, or you kill all the good stories about candidate A, and they portray it as if all the media houses in Kenya kind of had this big meeting and made this decision, you know, which is actually not true. I don't think I've never attended any meeting. I don't know whether you have, but I doubt if you've ever attended any meeting where you are told like this is how you need to do it.
I'm not even aware if such a meeting has ever taken place.
Even as we look into ourselves, there's something I keep on saying, and the last time I said it, people got very, very annoyed. It's also the quality of our audience.
What about it?
I mean, what do you mean, what about it? The quality of our audience, because, I mean, there is something called media literacy. There's so many people who do not actually understand how the media works.
Yes.
They don't. So they think that every morning you people are called into some room and told like, okay, fine. Like now for these campaigns, they would think like, they would be called in some room and told like, okay, fine, write all the negative things about Ruto, you know?
But you see,
the
public outside this newsroom cannot understand how we operate.
Yeah.
Because they don't work here every day.
Yeah.
Me and you work here every day. We understand how things work, who is doing what, you know. But they don't understand. And it is not their responsibility to understand how we operate. What we get out from that operation is what should inform them that we are doing it right or not. Yes.
So it's our product that should speak for us.
Exactly. So if our product... So if our product speaks in a way that shows we are biased, or that we have been influenced, or that we are not independent, that's what the audience picks it from. Because they don't work here, they don't know how we operate. So
yeah.
So our product, we should operate in such a way that our product speaks for us the right way.
Yeah, but you see, what happens is that when you have a political formation that you like, and even when they do something wrong and the media reports it, you will treat that as bias. So when I say that they don't know how the media works, so no matter what product, because here is a case where we've actually sat down and figured, like, okay, we filtered the stories, because we don't create the news. We do whatever they've done out there is what we report. But now we know that, okay, fine, we filtered the news. What we've come up with is the wheat. The chaff is no longer here. But that person still sees, like, okay, fine, goes through this and sees, like, no, my person is not covered in a favorably. Is that really our product? Is the problem with us or with the audience? And that's why I keep talking about media literacy.
You're right. The audience is to blame to a very large extent, by the way.
And you know, that is one thing that when we say that, people tend to say, like, no, you know, we are giving you feedback, we are your consumers, you cannot blame us.
Let me read you a quote from Ruto during the campaigns. That when some media houses give 10 minutes to our competitors and they give us 1 minute, which I believe was not true.
Yes.
It flies in the face of integrity, fairness, and balance. You see, that statement, if taken just the way it is, blanketly like that,
yeah,
it is true, mm-hmm. it is correct that if this really happens,
yeah,
then it is unfair.
Uh-huh.
But is it really true that this happened?
I don't think. Now you see, that is what I talk about. But
yes.
Now his supporters will take it that it happened.
Another instant, uh-huh, is a case where I remember we had stories, stories of Ruto and Raila,
mm-hmm,
on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On facing pages.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was on the same page.
Yeah.
Raila on one side, Ruto on the other side of the page.
Yeah.
And then in the Raila story, we used a close-up photo.
Okay.
Of Raila and Karua, and I think there was someone else in that photo.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the Ruto story, we used a crowd.
Okay.
Ruto having a crowd.
Okay.
You see, there was a complaint the following morning. From Raila's side,
uh-huh,
that now these people, you are using a crowd, but for us you are not using a crowd.
Okay.
Yeah, but you see, they don't understand that there are a lot of things that you have to look at to,
yeah,
balance this page.
Yeah,
design. And you know, so if it's what you say, they don't understand it.
Yeah, so that's what I talk about media literacy.
So. Then how do we go above this media literacy?
People need to be open-minded. Kenyans need to be open-minded and actually understand that, okay, fine, the people in these media houses know what they're doing. We don't have to criticize everything that they do. Just because probably in the West, mainstream media is being criticized, we don't just have to pick it and start doing it here because it's being done there. But now that is what we lack here, because our culture, our values, our economy, there's so many factors at play that actually determine how we think, you see. But you see, like, now in that particular case, here is a case where the other team was complaining, yet it is this other gentleman who kept on saying that I am not getting fair coverage.
Yes.
So fairness and balance in Kenya, sometimes if you use what the audience think as a gauge, then you will lose it. That's what I think.
You see, you and I, and the other colleagues who are operating here, we are trained.
Yeah.
We are trained in this trade, in this industry. We know what we need to do. We have quality. We have standards,
yeah,
against which we operate. It will only be a problem if we go against these standards ourselves. But if we stick to these standards and we do that consistently, I think the word here is consistency. If we do that consistently, eventually the audience will at some point understand that, oh, this is how the media operates. But we need to ask ourselves one question. Are there instances where we have actually been biased?
Oh, okay, fine.
And yes.
I can't speak for myself.
Yes, there are. No, you can't speak for yourself. Okay, you have to speak for the media.
Okay, fine. Speaking for the media.
Yeah,
because, but media is made up of people.
Because it made up of people, yes. But these people combine efforts to produce a product.
Yeah.
When that product goes out, it does not have your name, for example, or just your name alone.
Mm.
It has your name, it has my name, it has another person's name.
Yeah.
And it is viewed as the standard, not as clay.
Yeah.
You get it?
Mm.
Yeah. So, are there instances that we have been biased as media? Yes, there are.
Okay, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, if we can, you know, correct this and be consistent in our coverage and uphold standards and quality, we would minimize these complaints from the audience. But I'm also not saying that we ought to operate as the audience dictates. No, I'm not saying that.
Of course, yes, we need to listen to what
we have. Feedback. Yeah, we need to listen to them.
Feedback. Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. But then we, as I said, we have our tenets.
That we have to follow. Yeah.
Yes.
Because for me, what it seems like, this even this complaining, and probably people out there might prove me wrong and stuff, but from a political communication point of view, for me, this was a communication, a political campaign strategy. This one of, see, I am the underdog here. Even the media is fighting me. For me, that is how it came across, or that is how I understood it. So that's why I was not very keen on actually fighting it and saying, no, we are not doing that, or we are being fair and all that. But then this thing also, it got so much into the minds of the people, in the psyche of the people, that actually people started believing it, that actually it is true that the media is against them, you see? And there was not much empirical evidence. I know people will quote, oh, you know, Media Council of Kenya did a survey and these are the things that he came up with. And we had, I had the Media Council of Kenya official here on this podcast another time, and he said that sometimes the bias that these people talk about, the way they've calibrated their machines, is that the machines pick a name. So sometimes if probably you're complaining that I am biased against you because they keep on mentioning David more, it is because you are the one, your people, who keeps on, every time you talk, you mention David. David did this, David did this, David did this. So at the end of the day, this thing picks like 10 Davids and 2 Godfreys, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, because probably the only time you used Godfrey was when you're introducing yourself.
Yeah.
But you gave a speech and you mentioned David 10 times. So it will seem like the media is favoring David, you see? But that is not the case. Because whenever you talk about, like, okay, fine, the quantity, how many times this guy was mentioned 10 times and I was mentioned once, but look at the quality also. You see, if you actually went to a place and did something that did not require that 10 minutes and it was something of quality, and this person talked for 10 minutes and the only thing he was talking about is probably chanting. So their survey does not capture that. It does not capture whether this guy, they were talking about him negatively or positively. It only captures the number of times this name is mentioned and stuff like that. You see?
Yes.
So it became, for me, it was like a campaign strategy, a part of political communication.
So if you're saying it was just a campaign strategy, then probably you have nothing to fear.
No, I've not finished. It was a campaign strategy. Right. But you see, the campaign strategy... and also, it will only work for you based on your beliefs also, you know, your beliefs. But this is not the first time, even before this being a campaign strategy, Uhuru and Ruto, these are the same guys who switched off the media, didn't they? twice, I think, in the regime, when in 2017, of the 2017 elections, they switched off live broadcast. I think this had been done at some point also by in 2007, 2008. But why I think that this was a campaign strategy is that because it was working for them. And you see, the campaigns don't end just because now you've gotten into power. But now it will be like, if I fail, the media is still fighting me. I am doing all these things against all odds. You see? Because this was a campaign strategy. It worked for them and it became a policy. They're not going to discard it because they used it to win the hearts of and the hearts of Kenyans. So what about now? I mean, I continue with it so that if anything happens, it will be like the media. I even have won elections and the media is still fighting me. The media is against me. So that is where my fear comes from.
So now, I think the question now is, what should the media do? Should the media conform? I would say no. Let us continue doing our work.
Yeah, we have to continue.
As independently, as fairly as possible, as we have always done.
But the environment will be hostile.
I know. The environment will be hostile. And no, we are coming, and I know we given the history that we are coming from, remember in 2007, when the media was switched off, during the swearing in of, you know, the president, at night, after that election, you know,
which was a very good event because we didn't have to spend 200 million.
It's okay, but of course,
the swearing in ceremony is what I'm talking about. It was cost effective
for the media.
Okay,
the least I say about it, the better. But you know, from given that background. And you know, as the society has progressed, the media has grown. Now we even have social media.
Yes.
You cannot stifle the media so much.
Yeah, but his grouse was mostly about mainstream media, because that is what you can regulate.
Yes,
you cannot regulate social media, but though you can if you're authoritarian enough.
You can switch it off.
Yes,
we have had presidents during elections.
Stuff like that they do, yeah. So that one also you can regulate. Yes.
Yeah. So,
but mention of that. Should I actually say that there's some fears out there that even we might get to a point even that can be switched off? No, I don't think so, because that was a very good platform for the campaign. And
yes.
I don't think anybody who wants
yes. And both parties really leveraged on that for their campaign. So I think it benefits them more than it hurts them.
The only person they need to deal with is mainstream
media. Yes,
that is the biggest issue.
Yes, because you know mainstream they can't control the mainstream media like they
but at the same time they can.
Yes, to an extent.
Yeah, because you see, like, the regulator is a more or less a quasi-state body.
Yes.
MCK is a quasi-state body.
Yes.
We fall under the ministry of all this.
But the positive side of this is that we have a constitution that provides for media freedom.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
So actually what we should fall back on, we should say, like, yes, everything is going to be fine. We have a strong constitution.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
So,
which means if the president decides to kind of begin a very serious onslaught on the media against the constitution, that will be autocracy.
So we can actually quote the constitution and say like, no,
I
you are
so.
Going. Yeah.
Yes.
Fine.
We have several. We have the constitution. We also have acts of parliament. We have laws, Media Council Act. You know.
So should we actually say like? I mean, we can end it on this point and say like, okay, fine. We have fears, but our fears are unfounded, and.
No, they are not unfounded.
These
fears are real.
The fears are real.
Yes.
But what
I'm saying is yes, there are fears. But this should not stop us from doing our work.
And if at all we are attacked, you will be attacking the Constitution.
Yes.
I think that's a very good place to end at. So we will not attack us because we have the constitution.
Yes.
That's our shield and defender.
Yes.
Good.
And that constitution is what the president will be swearing on Tuesday to protect and preserve.
Okay, fine. So, there you have it. You cannot attack us. We are living in fear. Our fears may be unfounded, but the thing is, we have the constitution. And we will fall back on that. And the only way, if you attack us, you're attacking the constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of this week's podcast. Today, my name is Clay Muganda, and I was with Godfrey Ombogo Jarachar, who, like me, is a quality assurance editor at the Standard Group. See you next week.